just want to read a few scriptures. Please bear with me. In Mark chapter 5, Mark's Gospel chapter 5, that's page 1196, Mark 5, and they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And immediately on his going out of the ship, there met him out of the tombs a man possessed by an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling in the tombs, and no one was able to bind him, not even with chains, because he had been often found with fetters and chains, and the chains had been torn asunder by him, and the fetters were shattered, and no one was able to subdue him. And then it says in verse 15, and they come to Jesus, and they see the possessed of demons sitting, and clothed, and sensible, him that had been, that had the legion, and they were afraid. And then in Acts chapter 9, Acts of the Apostles chapter 9, that's page 1314, Acts chapter 9, but Saul, still breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, came to the high priest and asked of him letters to Damascus, the synagogues, so that if he found any who were of the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. But as he was journeying, it came to pass that he drew near to Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light out of heaven, and falling on the earth, he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And it says, verse 8, and Saul rose up from the earth, and his eyes being opened, he saw no one. But leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. And then Colossians, which is page 1422, 1422, Colossians, and verse 13, who has delivered us from the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Bear with me one verse, I promise you, just one verse. In 1 Corinthians 15, that's page 1387, 1387, 1 Corinthians 15, and verse 51, 1 Corinthians 15, and verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery, we shall not all fall asleep, but we shall all be changed in an instant. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I want to speak tonight, dear friends, about change. I've read the conversion story of two dramatic changes. They're not subtle. You know, some people, they have various difficulties and they might improve a bit in their health or in their circumstances or in their behaviour and their character. But the two I've read, the man in the tombs and also Saul of Tarsus, they were dramatic changes. And that's what the gospel is able to do. It can take someone, as it says in the scripture elsewhere, it can take someone out of the dunghill. The lowest place, the most depraved place. It can take them out of that and put them into the highest, most privileged place. And every believer in Jesus is in the most privileged position because they're walking with the King. And that can happen to you. Doesn't matter, dear friends, your past history, or it doesn't matter at all in your current circumstances either. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you're doing. It doesn't matter your colour or background or social status. Whatever it is, dear friend, tonight the gospel is for you. You cannot opt out of the gospel. Why? Because the gospel tells you, God's word tells you that we're all on the same page. It's a level playing field. Do you know that? It doesn't matter if you're the king, or it doesn't matter if you're the beggar in the street. You're on the same level playing field. And what is that level playing field? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That doesn't matter, that doesn't take into account anything else. Paul says in the Gospels that God is no respecter of persons. We look on the outside, don't we? Whether he's a good person or a bad person, whether he's got a nice house or he lives in a shack, doesn't matter. God doesn't do that, dear friend. He looks on the inside. And God's word tells me that on the inside, we're all the same. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I read, firstly, in Mark's Gospel, what a desperate case this is. A man possessed by the devil, really. And you know, and there are many like that today, through drink or drugs, satanic activity. No one can control him. You feel that sometimes when you see people, uncontrollable. And yet you know, as a sinner before God, you and I really are uncontrollable, aren't we? We can't be tamed. There's nothing can stop us apart from God's grace and the power of Jesus to save. This man says no one was able to bind him. And he was even chained and he'd break the chains. What an extreme case. There were other people in the scriptures who met Jesus who had problems. But this was an extreme case. But dear friend, what the good news of the glad tidings is that no case is too hard for Jesus. Get that into your head tonight, into your heart tonight, that no case is too hard for God. It says nothing is impossible with God. This man, society had written off this man. He was beyond help as far as man was concerned. No man, and that may be you or I, no man is beyond help as far as God is concerned. What a God we have to deal with. What made the difference? What made the difference to this man? How was he changed? I'll tell you how he was changed. He met Jesus. Simple, isn't it, really? He met Jesus. I came across a little a poem the other day which sparked my thought to this preaching tonight. If I just remember it correctly, it says, creation forms us. Sin deforms us. The world conforms us. Prison reforms us. Education informs us. But only Jesus can transform us. He can change you tonight, dear friends. He can change your heart. He can set the captive free. He can give forgiveness to the sinner. To the one who doubts and fears, he can give peace. To the one who's carrying a heavy burden of sin and guilt and doubt and fear, he can lift it. Because burdens are lifted at Calvary. That's the Saviour our Prince is present tonight in the glad tidings, dear friend. This one, you know, he couldn't be controlled. He was an impossible case. And I say to you tonight, if you think you're an impossible case, that no one can help me, I'd say there is one who can help you, and that is Jesus. What a transformation. He was found, wasn't he? Where? At the best place possible. He wasn't sent off to a centre. He wasn't sent off for further education. He was found sitting at the feet of Jesus, the one who gave him peace, the one that he that rescued him from his sin, from his doubt, from his fear. Clothed. This one, he was running around naked. You know, that's a picture of man today, is it? Without any shame. You know, when man sinned, you read it in the beginning of the scriptures, they were naked, they were ashamed. They tried to hide, they tried to patch things up, didn't they? You can't patch up your sin. You can't hide your sin. God sees everything. It says, everything, it says, is naked and laid bare before him with whom we have to do. You can't patch up your life tonight. There is one tonight who can transform you. One who can change you. Jesus. He was found clothed. What does that mean? Well, he had physical clothes on, yes. But more, it means more than that. Because, you know, as you come in repentance to God, you say, I repent of my sin. God gives you righteousness. Jesus' righteousness. It says in the scripture, him who knew no sin. Who's that? It's Jesus. Him who knew no sin, he became sin for us, that we might become his righteousness. You read Luke chapter 15, the one who wandered away and came back, what happened? He was given the best robe. Not the one that was kept, you know, the tatty one at the back of the wardrobe. He was given the best robe. And that's what God does in the gospel tonight. He gives you his very best. Clothed with the best robe. And so this man was found clothed and sensible. Sensible. You know, the world is full of people who are insensible, unsensible, daft, crazy. In fact, the only true sensible people are those that have had to do with Jesus. Because they know how he's put everything right. They have a different perspective. This man was changed in every way, internally and externally. There's countless stories of people who are converted, who come to Jesus for salvation, and their lives are completely changed, and they're different. And people ask them, how have you changed? You used to swear, you used to drink yourself silly, you used to be always in fights, you were completely impossible, and you've suddenly changed. That's not just a story, that's actually happened countless times. Why? Because they've met Jesus. He's able to do that. He did it for this man, and he can do it for you. I read to another dramatic version. The man in Mark 5 was under the bondage of Satan. He was a very desperate, worldly man. But the one we read of in Acts chapter 9, he was a religious man. He was so religious. He was more religious than the Pope. He was so religious. But he still needed to be saved. You might think you're religious tonight. You still need to be saved. What a change came over Saul too. Where we started, the beginning of the chapter, still breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. What a terrible man. No wonder Paul, when he writes later, he says, I'm the chief of sinners. Because not only was he like this, but he persecuted and sent to their death many believers in Jesus. I persecuted the assembly of God. Chief of sinners. What a horrible man, breathing out threatenings and slaughter. And yet something changed, didn't it? A light out of heaven. He saw Jesus in glory. He may not have seen Jesus on the earth, I don't know. It's not recorded, but I don't think he had met Jesus on earth. But he saw him from heaven. because Jesus, you know, went to the cross to die for our sins, shed his precious blood to put them away. But he's now not in the grave, he's in heaven. And that's where Paul saw Jesus, in heaven. The light shone down and stopped that man, arrested him in his tracks. And that's what the gospel would seek to do tonight. If you're wandering off, whatever you're doing tonight, as the gospel is preached, the design of God is that you should be arrested, you should be stopped in your tracks. The voice from heaven is, Saul, Saul. You know, God would speak twice. When in scripture your name is repeated twice, it means I've got something very important to say. Maybe God is repeating your name twice tonight, saying, stop! Listen to me. He saw the light and he heard the voice. Stopped in his tracks. He met Jesus. What a transformation. As I said, that little poem, yes, we can have a reforming, but only Jesus can transform. He transformed Saul, didn't he? He was Saul, he became Paul. The big man, threatening slaughter, breathing out threatenings and slaughter. The big Saul, he was changed. He became Paul, didn't he? What does Paul mean? He's little, humble. What a change came over tonight, dear friend, as the gospel goes out. May you be arrested, stopped in your tracks. Interesting. I just read that verse. It just amazes me. He's breathing out threatenings and slaughter in verse 1. By the time we get down to verse 8, but leading him by the hand. What a change. He was prepared to be led. Tonight, dear friend, you know, the gospel, it humbles you, it changes you. Your whole perspective is changed because you've met the one in the glory. Jesus, the one who died in suffering and shame, but now is exalted. And that's where the gospel is preached now. You know, it's not my, I didn't make this up, it's not my words. This is from heaven. One of our hymns says, he's speaking from heaven in love to thy soul. This is not my message, it's God's message. And it's coming straight from heaven tonight to you. The heavens opened here and the Lord spoke to Paul as an individual. And maybe tonight the heavens are open and they're speaking to you as an individual. That you might be stopped in your tracks. And you might have to do with Jesus. And it might be changed. If you've not come under the power of the Lord Jesus as Saviour, if you don't come to him, may you do so before it's too late. Because, you know, this gospel is not going out forever. We've been reading in Worthing, beginning of Genesis, and you know the story of the ark. They all went into the ark before judgment came, and it says that Jehovah shut the door. There is coming a time, you know, it's not when we choose to stop preaching. Jehovah shuts the door. And then the judgment comes. And if you need eyes to see what's going on in these days, surely judgment is coming upon this wicked world. God has wonderful patience, but it's not infinite patience. He's waiting on men, and he's waited maybe for you. Years and years, but there's coming a time when God, Jehovah, is going to shut the door and there won't be any more room. No room in the ark for you then. What Solomon? And that's why the gospel is urgency in the gospel. That you might have to do with God now. You might come to Jesus now. So these two men, what a change. You know, they have him that we sing sometimes. What, don't we? What a change has come about since Jesus came into my heart. I wonder if you've experienced that change for yourself. That's why I read the next scripture. What does it say? This is what Paul could say. This is the one that was stopped on the Damascus road And when he's writing to those Christians in Colossae, he says in verse 13, "Who has delivered us from the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." What a transformation. It happened to Saul. It's happened to many, many millions of others in the last 2,000 years. Has it happened to you? Have you been changed? It can only be by God's grace. You can't change yourself, and I can't. Here we go. I can't change you either. God can. Jesus can. I would just, if you feel the need of him, if you feel the need of Jesus, you just call to him. As the hymn says, all the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. I think that's lovely, isn't it? All the fitness he requireth. All you need to qualify for salvation tonight is to feel your need of him. Say, "Lord, I need you." Peter, when he was drowning, he said, "Lord, save me." That wasn't a long prayer, was it? What happened? Jesus stretched out his arm. And that's what happened tonight. As you cry out in desperation, he will hear you and save you. Translated from the kingdom of darkness. You know, everyone starts in that kingdom. Everyone. As a sinner, one who's rebelled, we're really under the authority of Satan, aren't we? Satan, one of his titles, and he has many, one of his titles is the God of this world. And he has a kingdom. And as sinners, before our salvation, we all start out in that kingdom. But by God's grace and God's power, many are translated, they're pulled out, they're delivered, they're rescued. Tonight, have you made that wonderful transformation? You can't do it yourself. I can't do it. Jesus can. He did it by his going to the cross, suffering and dying on your account. You know, Jesus was perfect, holy, the Son of God. He was God and he was man. I don't pretend to understand that, but it's a fact. It's presented as a fact in the Bible for you to believe. That's the crux point, that you believe. Do you believe that Jesus was sent from God as his own beloved Son to die for you, to take on your sins? It says he bore our sins in his body on the tree. Paul says, you know, it's scarcely good that one should die for another person. But it says, why were we yet sinners? That's the point. Why were it so unlovable? Why we were so ugly? Why we were so reprehensible to God? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Dear friends, can you understand that? Do you accept it for yourself? Translated from the kingdom of darkness to the authority of the Son of his love. I have a new master now. Bob Dylan, who supposedly became a Christian, I'm not sure, only the Lord knows if he is or not, but he wrote a song, "You've got to serve somebody. You've got to serve somebody." You're either serving the devil, as the man in 5 was, or you're serving the Lord. As you come to Jesus in repentance and accept what he's done, he's not only your saviour, is your Lord. Surely we owe our life to him. He's died for us. He's given himself for us. And therefore he demands your allegiance. The authority, we've been translated from the authority of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of his love. He has a king. He is a king. And he has a kingdom. And every saved person forms part of that kingdom. Can't see it physically, but it's there, and one day it will be displayed. kingdom of God. I just read the last one because it's just lovely. In Corinthians, if you put your trust in Jesus, you're changed in your heart. What a change has come about to him says, since Jesus came into my heart. Millions have been changed. I trust you have been, as you come under the power of Jesus. But you know, for the believer, for the Christian, the one who trusts in him, there's coming a day, and we believe it's very soon, when Jesus will come for everyone that's put their trust in him. And we will be changed in every way. All these achy bones will have gone. No more toothache. We will be changed in every way. We'll be perfect. We'll be like him. What power there is. What a hope that is. We will be changed. You know, all that Jesus did at the cross, you can take advantage of now. But it's coming a day when all of that will be seen visibly and absolutely and perfectly and finally. When Jesus comes, we will be changed. Absolutely. What a hope that gives us. May you be changed today. May your heart be changed today as you come to Christ. And then you have that hope in your heart that you'll be perfected. You'll be changed into that. You'll be suitable to go into those fair lands of glory where you'll live for the Saviour forever. Well, I just leave that. That's the gospel. Have to do with Jesus while it's still time. He's speaking in heaven, from heaven in love to thy soul. Be changed today for his glory and for your blessing. For his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.